This is the Tom Likas Show.
If you believe in God, you're probably not as smart as I am.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
It's fucking true.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are joined in this hour, as we are every Tuesday, by criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on in the world of crime?
Crime and punishment, Tom.
Yeah.
So, as an important show, I wanted to talk to this next guest. And he is really more or less on the realm of family law. But we can also, of course, talk about criminal law. But this is something that absolutely could not wait. And I think the audience is really going to appreciate him. His experience is really interesting. And I've been talking to him a few times. He actually hasn't hired me yet. So that's kind of a good place to be in terms of, you know, listening to his, you know, where he's at. He is not 100% committed to hiring a lawyer, Tom. So you can give him the business on that, because I think he still has some mixed ideas about doing the case himself. But what's really interesting is that he has done something which we've heard a lot about. He married a woman from Russia. Now, we kvetch and complain about American women,
right?
And you're certainly on board with that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the places that they show a lot of times, like on the internet and elsewhere, are supposed to be these fantastic Russian women. And there's different reputations, you know, that they always say certain things about Asian women, and I know you like South American women, but Russian women are supposed to be blonde, gorgeous, you know, intelligent. And they're supposed to make the best wives. And guys today, obviously, you know, are frustrated with American women, which is, I think, very understandable and justified. And so they are seeking alternatives. And Russian women or Ukrainian women, that's supposed to be a really great alternative. That's something that I have actually been skeptical of. I've been to these places myself, by the way, and seen who's living there and so forth. And this guy hooked up with a Russian woman, and it has been rather catastrophic. And so I really wanted to have him tell his story. So is he on?
He's right here. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, good evening. And what are we calling him tonight, Tom?
We're calling him Joe. I thought you knew
No.
Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Oh, great.
Great. So I just wanted to kind of talk about your story a little, Joe. I wanted to tell your background. You're relatively young, right? And you're a student?
Yeah. Early 30s.
Okay. You're a graduate student.
Graduate student, right? And kind of new to California. I've only been to live in Los Angeles about 3 years.
Okay.
And I've, you know, lived in Europe for a little bit. And so I felt like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, like you said earlier, American girls can be, perhaps maybe not as feminine, maybe
right.
not as attractive.
Right.
Also
in the mind, I think also unfeminine thinking.
Yeah, right. You know, the sense of dominance and, you know, not seeing that a man want to take care of a girl, you know, that it's okay.
Right.
And you know, and I guess you get the reverse when you date, you know, some Eastern European girls, particularly Russia, Ukraine, because, you know, they're very accepting. You know, you want to, you know, be nice to them and you want to give them things or take them out to dinner. That's what they're accustomed to.
Right. Now, I actually took a trip to Russia and to the Ukraine. And, they had all kinds of ways of meeting people there. And it just seemed like a lot of the girls were very eager to, like, meet someone to get away, like to get out of the Ukraine or out of Russia. So this person that you met, did you actually go to Russia and meet them, or you met them in the U.S.?
No, I met them in the U.S.
Really?
They'd actually, I don't know what the right word is to use here, but they basically followed their Russian boyfriend here who had a job here.
And, right.
You know, I frankly, from what I understood, I felt as if, she only stuck with them because of the benefits. And when she got here, she probably realized, maybe she should shop around.
Right.
So
that's
she,
interesting. So she was already, she didn't just choose the U.S. through you, but she was already here on her own accord.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. And then the last year or so, as her visa, her temporary visa is expiring, she decides to break up with her Russian boyfriend. I mean, you know, it certainly makes you wonder,
could happen. That's possible. That's not
right. 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 You know, I always like to give benefit of the doubt. You know, that was always my thought on things.
And was she, is she, like they say, she's gorgeous and blonde and tall and everything, educated?
Yeah. You know, I mean, could carry conversation. Things seem to be fine. Very, very pretty and, beauty contests and all of that, right? So.
Right. I mean, the Russian girls that I met had been, all of them had been in contestants in various, I don't know, they're really into these beauty contests, I guess. They're kind of culturally a few years behind us. So they have like Miss America, but they have Miss Russia, Miss, the different parts of Russia and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, a lot of the girls I met were like in unbelievable shape. They were like dancers and stuff, you know? They were not in the sense of stripper dancer. They were more like, ballet dancers and so forth.
Right. You know, and I had dated a lot of Russian Ukrainian girls, especially here in Los Angeles. I'd like to say I probably dated almost all of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, it was interesting to see how a lot of them become Americanized and all of that.
Right.
And, I feel like they lose some of that because I also did date some girls in the Ukraine as well. I did go there in the past.
Right.
While I was there, I mean, just light dates, and none of them, it was very interesting because the ones that are wanting to stay there, they don't have the same attitude as the ones that are here.
Right.
That's at least my experience.
The other interesting thing, what you just mentioned briefly, is how they change, that the ones that have lived in the U.S. for a number of years, our culture is it's amazing. I mean, it just sucks you in wherever you're from. And you see how in a very short time, a lot of the alleged benefits have pretty much disappeared because they become extremely Americanized, which obviously is a blessing and a curse, you know?
Right.
So this girl had been with some Russian guy, they broke up, and now you're dating her, and she's got, obviously, this is kind of what goes on, there's this pressure of like, look, if I don't, do something, my visa's expired, and so you...
Right, well, first of all, she lied. I never forget, I was on like the fourth date with her, and I said, just kind of gets out in the open, I said, you have your green card? She goes, yeah, No, she will have an accent, but I mean, she's understandable, and I speak a few different languages, so, but she implied and seemed to say that she was fine, her status was fine, and, I said, you have a green card, though, and she kind of nodded her head, and so I have the visa, and I I'm thinking it's pretty much the same thing, I don't know the law, and I'm thinking, why would she, lie to me? She didn't seem like...
Wait, you were thinking, why would she lie to you?
right. Why would a woman lie to you? Why would a woman lie to a guy, right? I mean,
famous last words.
Oh, my.
Right. So, my parents would never... I mean, my parents kept asking, does she have a green card? I'm like, oh, come on,
And she had told you, yes. And she,
she told me, yes, she had her green card, her status was fine, blah, 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 blah. And then one day I felt like there was something off. She came to see me. She was in tears. She said, we can still talk. We can write. But, my status is up, and I'm not going to be able to renew it. And I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from?
Right.
And, you know, being the kind of guy that I am, you know, I thought, well, you know, I guess I love her, you know, and...
here we go.
You know, and, you know, and so the story unfolds from there, right? But I said, look, I mean, I don't want to do this in a way that's public, because my family wouldn't, you know, they would not accept this kind of condition, like this environment that this is happening.
Right.
And frankly, I said, I'm not really sure if I'm ready for that kind of big public commitment, so why don't we just do a confidential marriage, you know?
Right.
Very popular here in California. And I thought, you know, so no skin off of my back, I'm thinking, right? Because then, you know, and then things go on, and you know, I'm happy to help her, you know, and thinking, you know, like many maybe liberal Americans, sure, let's help the refugees, let's help these people. And don't get me wrong, people do need help, legitimately some. But in this case, it ended up really turning against me.
Now, you know what's interesting in my experience also, a lot of guys seem to think that the woman, you know, if you do something gigantic for her like this, you know,
yeah,
essentially saving her life, getting her status, getting her citizenship, that it's something that she is going to just love you forever. She's going to appreciate it so much, you know. It's going to just, it's going to blow
that,
her mind, you know.
And not just that, I just think out of simple human decency that you deserve a certain level of respect, and I don't mean adoration or anything, but just human respect. Hey, you know what? I mean, I'm more than willing to help you.
Right.
You know, and just show me respect. You know, even if things don't work out, let's you know, whatever. But you know, but as time went on.
All right. So anyway, so as time went on, so you did marry her, right?
Yes.
And you guys moved in together?
Not really, because, you know, I was still going to school. I was commuting a lot. You know, here in L.A., you know, places are very small.
Right.
And, you know, I had pets, and, you know, there was no pets where she was. So we didn't quite exactly live together.
But you did have a romantic relationship, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be too graphic here, but I mean, you really were.
No, sure.
You were involved.
Well,
I mean,
totally
for real.
To be honest with you, right? To be totally honest with you, though, as soon as that happened, I have to say things went downhill really quick. And
that's like every marriage there is, by the way.
Yeah, well, romance went out the door, right? Right.
But as soon as you married her, the whole sex thing just went out the window, eh?
Right. Well, you know, it was the stress that she had over every document, over showing and proving this, that it got so.
You mean the immigration forms and everything?
From immigration forms and all the stuff that she was worried about, and, you know,
right,
get high anxiety. And again, I kept dismissing it as, well, you know, she's just an anxious person.
Right.
Well, you know what? As time went on, I felt like, you know, she even realized, look, this is putting a lot of stress on me.
Right.
And this is stressing the relationship. And honestly, I don't think at some point that she really cared.
And meanwhile, you're also, you're a student the whole time, right? So you're working really on your classes, right?
Right. I'm a student. I'm trying to work. You know, I mean, I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm trying to take care of her in whatever way I can. You know, and she's starting to have a hard time keeping her job because her status your status is getting lower. So she can't get a job anywhere now that she's, you know, she's at this in-between stage.
Right.
And
are
you know,
sure? Can I ask
time.
A question here? Because I hear hundreds of these calls,
yeah,
about thousands. Did you know for sure that she had a job?
Yeah.
How did you know?
Because
she told you.
I would call her, you know, you know, I had spoken to her workers, you know, people that worked with her.
And how do you know that's what that was? You never met these people, did you?
No, I never did meet them. No.
Tom's right. I mean, I don't know about that one detail of the whole circumstance, but it's not unusual. Maybe if she really did have a job, let's say, very typically you marry her, the job fades away, you know?
Right.
That's right. Also pretty common. If, you know, Tom might be right. Maybe it was, you know, BS from the beginning. But
right.
Anyway, so
right.
So she's getting stressed about the papers. Things are a little funky or whatever.
And she's getting super possessive now, and you know,
really?
I'm trying to. Everything got weird emotionally for her. I think she just went into an emotional spiral as well, and she wouldn't even. I invited her to friends' Christmas parties and or whatever, you know, other parties, And you know, she like something would happen, or she was too busy. I mean, you know, I wasn't busy, but you know, she wouldn't make it. And she didn't want to really meet my friends, and it just got so weird. It was almost like she was jealous, so I couldn't even talk to any of the girls who were just my friends.
Right.
But and, see, I've dated women like this, okay? And I'm hearing a lot of red flags from my own experiences. Did you know her? Did you know her friends?
Well, no. And in fact, the only friend she talked about seemed like a total slut, and she was an American.
But, yeah, but you don't even, by the way, hate to tell you, because I've been there, Joe. You don't even know if she had friends here. You don't know that because you never met them. How about her coworkers? Ever meet them?
Nope.
Ever go to her office?
Nope.
Ever send her flowers and say, where is your office located so I can send you some flowers?
Well, I did. I did.
What'd she tell you?
I sent her a meal once. I sent her a dinner once.
Nine. Did she receive it?
Yeah, she received it. She did receive it.
How do you know that?
Because the delivery driver, you know, I mean, I called them up and they made it.
All right, it is sketchy.
But, you know,
it's sketchy.
I have to say, though, you know, that my greatest concern with the whole situation was the fact that, again, she was way too interested in showing face to immigration than she was about anything else. You know, she wanted to make sure she got the photos and the this and the that. And it was just so superficial.
So what is the question? Because, again, and I'm speaking from experience, when you meet a chick like this and you've never been to her office, never met her friends, never met her family, you don't know anything about this person. You think
That's
you do, but
right.
you really know nothing. And
that
could mean anything. But the point is... you're assuming she loved you, and I'm telling you from experience, you know, women want you to meet their friends. They want you to meet their family.
Right.
Even
if
they have to fly you to Russia to meet the family, they want you to meet the family when they're serious about a relationship. It is not normal for a woman to say, tell you nothing about her friends. You never meet her friends. You never meet her family. You never talk to her family. That's not normal. It's not.
Right. And, you know, we were, you know, quote unquote, you know, together for only, let's say about 4 months. And after the confidential marriage.
Right.
And, you know, so because, I mean, I during this time, I was so stressed. I had so much going on in my life. You know, I mean, Los Angeles is a tough place. You know, I was working on credits to get into grad school and, you know, grad school just started then and I got all this going on and then she dumps this on me. So, I mean, I felt like I was in an emotional situation of just, you know, what do? You know, I mean, you don't want to lose this role you think you might love, you might be a future with. And, you know, I think, well, maybe I can help her out, you know, and,
this altruism is unbelievable, man.
Why are you so anxious to help somebody out? You know, why wouldn't you be doing... Let me say another thing that, as a man, this is what I would think. Why wouldn't you be doing this for your own good? Like, you saw a beautiful woman, and you wanted to keep her in the country because you wanted to keep a beautiful woman. You didn't do this to be charitable or altruistic. You did it for you, didn't you? I would. If I were going to do that, I'd do it for me. What about you?
You know... I don't know. I mean, I spent a lot of time doing different kind of charity stuff in the past.
Oh, and, don't.
You know,
come on.
I know.
Come on.
And
don't
it
even.
It made me kind of a sap. You know what
really?
I'm saying?
You have sex with all those people you're giving charity to? No. This is not charity.
You know, as time went on, you know.
I love you to death, and I'm thrilled that you're talking to Adam, and I hope you hire him because he's exactly who you need.
Yeah,
okay?
No kidding.
But I have to tell you. No man I know does that for pure charity. They say that because it sounds politically correct.
Right.
But the reality is, if you see a beautiful girl and you're enjoying having sex with her, you might do anything for her, including rob banks or whatever she tells you to do.
Right. So later, as things are unraveling and all of that, I say to her, I say, are you still talking? Were you still talking to your ex while we were together?
Of course she was.
That's the Russian guy she came with.
Yeah, and whether it's
the real husband,
or whether
I think he's her owner. Tell you the truth,
or her husband.
Who knows? Well, she's saying she's dating some rich guy in Beverly Hills, because I understand there's a lot of people there that
really
just kind of cross around these Russian girls as if they're, you know what. So, yeah.
This is starting to sound like one of the subplots in Shameless, by the way.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, this could definitely be a book. I mean, literally, she says, I'm dating some really rich guy now, and
well,
he's going to pay for, you know, whatever.
I guess I've dated too many women from out of the country who had murky immigration statuses. You believe all this, or at least you've talked yourself into believing this. I don't believe a word she's ever said, any of it.
So, Tom, seriously, this is something that I was talking to Joe about, was that maybe she's just a con artist. I mean, that's it.
There are many of them.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, it's not out of the question. A lot of these things you're saying are weird, you know?
You know,
oh, yeah.
If somebody, by the way, I'm not in the marriage business anymore, but if I was somebody like that, the first thing I'd say is, well, I'd like to meet your friends. Like to meet your family.
Right. Right.
Let's go to Russia and meet the family.
And you know, my first degree is in counseling. You know, and I tell you, she's borderline. I mean, there's no doubt about it. She's borderline.
Borderline
borderline personality disorder.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. Right.
That is a nightmare.
But
because they're possessive. And let me tell you something. Almost every single, and I hate to say this so generically, but almost every single Russian and Ukrainian girl I've met has those tendencies. And they're on that spectrum. They're possessive, or they're recluse. But before you get to know them, they're flamboyant, so to speak. They're outgoing.
Right.
But then once you're in their nest.
But that's like any con artist you'll ever meet. Okay. They're all very friendly and helpful. And they love you, love you, love you until you start to give them what they want. And then they can't get away from you fast enough.
Right. Well, you know, in borderline personality, they love you in the morning, they hate you in the evening. And you don't have to do anything except for not respond
The other thing about borderline personality is that psychologists and psychiatrists won't take them as patients because you can't do anything to help them.
Right.
That is just one of those things that they are so nutty and their mind's such a mess that it's a waste of time to even try.
I have dealt with people with borderline personality disorder, and you know what? I don't think that's what this is. I think this is somebody who is a con artist who conned our caller here, and he, because he's hot for a sexy girl or because he wants to have a girlfriend or he wants to get married or whatever, he has believed everything she's saying. And because I've had the experiences I've had, I don't believe a word you've been told. I believe you believe it, Joe, but I don't believe a word. What you're telling me is a story like stories I've heard before.
So, Joe, what happened that you know, you told the story, things got cold after you got married. What was the breaking point that you knew you had to you know, pull the ripcord to get out?
What happened was I was trying to be civil and I was just trying to be normal and saying, hey, look, you know, this obviously isn't working out. And then she would seem to be sane. And, but she would just totally flip and she would throw everything I ever got her over my fence, including a diamond necklace. I never got her a ring. And this happened, and I forgave her once, and by the second time, I knew that's it.
That's why I have a zero-tolerance policy.
That's when I realized, I mean, she's nuts. I mean, totally nuts. One day, she even was banging on my door in the middle of the night, only because I did not respond to her text message.
Wow. Now, you know that we've talked about this, and I don't know if she's, you know, hip to all of this, but one of the games that women can play in these circumstances is to provoke some kind of a domestic violence incident, you know?
Exactly.
And
right.
if she does that just right, she can get you thrown out of your own house, you know, and she can turn the green card thing around on you, and she's got a lot of options. But,
right. And when this was happening, she was even threatening those things. And she said, I spoke with an immigration attorney.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know,
there you go, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
She's
oh, yeah.
no fool.
That's when I knew I got to get the heck out of this.
Right.
I moved. I set up a, not a P.O. box, but, you know, an actual address box.
Right.
So no one knows where I am.
Okay, but
no
now, Now you got to tell Tom the harsh part of this story, Tom. Joe decided, of course, to file for a divorce. That made sense. And he decided to do it with the paralegal, not to hire a lawyer.
Oh, no. Come on, Joe. Come on.
Yeah.
And Joe,
are
Joe
you broke?
Actually...
Are you poor?
He's fairly broke, I think. Right, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
From getting married or
starving
just
student?
Well, you know, when you're in grad school, you know, for all the years I've been in, you don't make a lot of money.
Another reason you don't get married when
you're
in college.
Right, that's really
grad
true.
Exactly.
And Tom has always said, you gotta whatever your dream is, you got to reach it first. And if you're even dreaming or thinking about getting married, that's after you accomplish everything. Because as you see in the middle of school, this is a real bump in the road. This is going to screw up things for you.
Right.
And what ended up happening, Tom, which is wild, and tell me if I got this wrong, Joe. He did the paperwork, Tom. He started a case. He got about halfway through, and then she threw a monkey wrench into it. And so now he is refiling a second case, if you can believe that, starting over, essentially. Right?
Yeah.
She was, like, going along, and then she changed her mind or something?
Exactly, yeah. So we had filed what's called a joint dissolution, which means we both signed the paperwork, and then she comes in and she says, oh, I never signed that.
Can you believe
it? And I guess you've got
I do. Because I already don't believe a word this woman has ever said. So, of course, I believe she would do things like that, yes.
So, and to be honest,
talk about being ungrateful. It's just the opposite, right?
Exactly. And the last words I'd ever heard from her pretty much were, I'm dating some rich guy, so don't F with me, because I'll F you.
Nice.
There you go.
That's gratitude. And as I recall, she hired a family lawyer, right? And he's the one who...
I don't think he's a family lawyer, because what happened was is he filled out the wrong paperwork, and the judge dismissed.
Classic.
Yeah, and made her look horrible. And judge said, I don't know what you guys did.
Well, you won't know if she looks horrible until you find out how much this costs you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, right now, so then she ends up revoking the joint dissolution, which is actually a very simple process. And now, you know, now I'm in a situation where, you know, I've got to figure out, you know, what's the situation. I don't really have any finances to do that much with. So it's a kind of a difficult situation. And plus, I'm in the process of doing some important potential military work, and I can't even get that job. Because my case is still an open case, and I can't pass security clearance with that open.
Can you believe that?
Well, yes. Yes.
Now think about it. Guys don't even think about stuff like this.
No.
I talk to guys all the time that plead guilty to a DUI, and they say, to hell with it. Who cares? Whatever. It's no big deal. Okay, fine. Then a year later, they're applying for a job. As in Joe's case, they're trying to work in the Navy or the Army or whatever. They need some kind of security clearance, and this comes up. And they sit down, they go, you got a DUI, we're not giving you a security clearance,
right.
We get it.
Right.
And here, he's talking about something in the armed forces, and it's the same exact issue, and they're telling him right off the bat, listen, if you've got this crazy ongoing divorce, you got a Russian bride or whatever, a woman that you're married to from another country, the hell with it, don't apply. We're not even going to look at you, forget it. I mean, that's horrible, Joe. That you know, turns your whole career upside down. So this isn't just an interlude, you know. This is a real life-changing event, you know.
Right. And things were going fine. Things should have been ended. And so, you know, I thought, hey, you know, this is great. This will be over. And then last minute, she pulls the plug. So now I've got to, you know, figure out, you know, no clue. You know, now I've got to try to advance this to make it happen.
At this point, why would you be negotiating with her, believing anything she says, trying to come to agreements on things with somebody like this? Why?
Well, we're not even talking.
But even the last time you did that, when you were signing this last piece of paper that she later said she didn't sign, why did you still believe her anymore at that point?
Well, you know, I mean, because even before the judge, she said, I want a divorce. So whatever she's doing now is like a game to somehow assist with her immigration status. That's kind of what it comes down to. She's trying to find a way to save immigration status. And frankly, I'm at the point where I spoke with my parents, and I'm like, you know, all I have to do is write the correct letter or make the right phone call to immigration and say, you know, I feel like
I don't recommend it.
Situation.
It's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. That's not a good plan.
Because
you got
to
remember,
back to me.
You're up to your eyeballs in the immigration thing with her. Don't forget, right. Marriage is partnership. You know, Tom, on top of all of this, and we've talked about this, he would have signed an affidavit of support when he did her immigration documents. So she turns around and collects any kind of government benefits, welfare, student loans, housing, anything, Medi-Cal, he has to pay it back. You get a bill from the government.
Even unemployment, right?
Yeah, everything. Anything that the government gives you, state or federal, right?
Right.
So, I mean the whole picture. And, you know, I talked to all these guys that were telling me how they beat the system. They got themselves a foreign wife or whatever. Is this beating the system? Look at this. This is like, this is punishing. All what you got to do to get laid. It's unbelievable, man. You know, it's too much. Hey. And the utter lack of decency or appreciation or anything for her to shake your hand and say, look, I really appreciate you trying to help me, and I'm sorry our marriage didn't work out, but, you know, I don't wish you any ill or whatever. Here, she's pissed at you, you know?
Right.
Like you screwed her over somehow, you know? So she's, like, made no effort to be a real partner to you, turned on you immediately, never really lived with you, didn't do any wife things or anything. And here this is just her endless revenge on you for I don't even know what.
Exactly.
So what's the bottom line? What's the lesson to the boys here?
You're asking me or him?
I was asking him.
All right. I don't know if he's learned the lesson yet. I don't know how he would
know. Have you learned the lesson, or are you going to let Tom do the summary
here? I think he's still in love.
Really?
Well, no, not at all. Oh,
if she called you and said, "I'm so sorry, honey. You know, my mind. I didn't know people were telling me things. I was getting confused. I just want to come back and go back to where we were." This is what happens. This is part of that mental abuse that people like this do on you.
I think if I would have been stupid enough to stay longer than 4 months and then been in some kind of cyclical abusive situation.
I'm kind of feeling it. I think Tom has a certain point to this, maybe. Are you done? Are you definitely? There's no way if she told you she was sorry.
Oh, well, no, I'm seriously dating somebody else, which, by the way, she had found.
That's a good sign.
Which, by the way, she had found.
Yeah.
And contacted and tried to call on every single social media.
To contact the one you're dating now.
Yep.
To tell her what?
To tell her that I'm his wife, that I'm her wife, and that, you know, like that I cheated on her. And,
see, this is amazing to me.
She was lying and saying that I was still talking with her, which I wasn't, communicating with her and all this other stuff.
Wow. I cannot understand how a woman, you know, stops having sex with her husband, totally cuts him off, and then is jealous when he's with another woman. I've never understood that. That's fascinating logic. It really is.
And during this time, of course, she's with the supposedly rich guy, which she's very happy with.
Great. That sounds like another strange, sketchy story.
Her pimp.
I'm afraid it might be true.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Joe, God bless you. I'm really worried about you. I know that you're not exactly 100% on hiring a lawyer, but I think you really you need to work that issue out. I don't think the paperwork you're doing on your own is going to save you from this big of a mess. This is like too much.
No, I mean, I'm sure that she'll bring in her crazy attorney and you know, there'll be something to
don't assume
about.
The attorney is crazy, by the way.
By the way.
Adam would agree.
Yeah.
Don't assume the attorney is crazy.
He might get his act together for 5 minutes.
You know, the person who has misjudged the most here is you, not the attorney.
Oh, yeah.
You sound like a lovely guy, but very naive.
Yeah, I'll give you that, Joe. You definitely see the good in people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not like a Mormon or something?
No, fortunately, you know, I wouldn't be able to spend all that time that they do in mission time. So,
all right, good point. But anyway, listen, man, I'm worried about you. So do some serious thinking, and we're gonna see if we can sort this out. I think the real lesson to guys is you gotta really check out a woman very carefully. And a lot of these women from other countries, they've got a whole backstory that you don't know and you don't want to know. Because
and they have no problem with divorce, none.
Yeah, they also don't.
Because they're grifters, scammers.
I think they're in survival mode. I think they're desperate. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I've dated so many of these foreign women. I'm telling you,
just a grifter.
Many of them are grifters. Right. So the trick,
well,
as I tell guys on this, well, of course.
Well, women always have zero accountability.
Yeah,
that's
but,
easy.
But when you're dealing with a grifter, they want to get what they want to get, and they don't care about you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all. And at the end of the day, you know, you think that you're being chivalrous, and you're trying to help them. This
well,
goes for whatever.
This is why chivalry needs to go
dating.
Out the window, too.
Yeah, well.
Stop doing, you know? I love you to death, Joe. Stop doing favors. Stop doing charity. Stop helping people you don't know.
Well, I was thinking no good deed goes unpunished, right?
People want to take everything you have.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And don't feel bad. By the way, don't feel badly that she was the love of your life and now you lost her. She was never the love of your life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what she's going to get, though, if I get the right attorney. She's going to get half of my debt because that's all I've got. And that occurred during
well, guess what?
I don't think that's a problem. I don't think she's paying back your debt, pal. Don't worry about that.
Right.
Sorry. That's a nice fantasy, but the danger is quite the opposite. You paying her debt, actually. But I think it's just like an American woman on steroids, basically. You know, no accountability, no responsibility, and she's – and Tom's right. I don't know if it's 100% deliberate or what, but she's definitely a con artist of some kind.
By the way, I'm going to tell you also from my personal experience, when you're dating someone and they say, oh, my visa's up and I have to go home, all you have to tell them to do is go back home, spend a couple of weeks with the family, go down to the U.S. Embassy, get a new visa, and come back here in a couple of weeks, and then we continue seeing each other.
Wow.
You don't have to get married to anybody.
It's a little too logical, apparently.
That's, by the way, this is true, and I've spoken to immigration attorneys about it. You do not have to get married. I have had women tell me, oh, I have to get married. I went with them to the attorney. I said, well, can't she just get another visa for 6 months? Well, yeah, she could do that, yes. Well, then why would I need to get married?
No.
It's just another way for women to try to force men to get married and give up what we have.
Yeah. There's definitely an element to that. Wow.
Right?
Well, yeah. I don't know, Joe. Listen, God bless you, man. It's a knotted up thing. It really is. And I don't think you deserve it. I think you got a really good heart. But you gotta put an end to this before it kills you. It's too much.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The biggest problem here, Joe, is I still think somewhere you're sad. You miss your wife. You miss your relationship. You only wish that you could roll it back to 6 months ago or a year ago when things were so good. That's what I believe about you.
I'm cringing hearing this, Tom.
Sorry, you know, I mean, I think she's killed whatever would have been there is gone.
Let me tell you something, Joe. I don't hear the anger. I don't hear this chick.
And here's why, Tom. Anger, you learn in psychology, anger is an attachment, you know? The opposite of
anger
love.
Is human. You know what? If someone, that guy who hit my car, the hit-and-run driver the other day, I'm angry at him, and it's human. Now, I can see her go, well, you know, no point getting angry about it because there's nothing you can do about it. You know what? I'm human.
You're not Gandhi, huh?
A guy intentionally ran my car and then drove off. Hey. I'm supposed to say, well, you know, I'm going to be the bigger man. I'm not going to get angry. You know, being angry is part of being human. And even more, aggressive anger is part of being a man. And here you are very calmly explaining this. Almost as if you wish she'd come back to you. Not like I'm angry and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I get out of this mess and that this chick gets what's coming to her. That would be normal. What you're doing is not normal male behavior.
No. I get angry, just not on, you know, not in public, you know, because I've got to keep a level mind. That's why I'm calling this wonderful attorney to speak with him and to hopefully get his services, because if I just focus on anger, number one, then all that anger and all those feelings, it's almost like she's with me, and I don't want to be with her. I want to be as removed as possible. So, you know, I've gone through those angry moments, and I realized, you know, that's just going to drag me down. I've got to focus on my school. I've got to focus on my future, and I can't let myself get into an angry bout.
And did you say at some point, maybe I didn't hear correctly.
Yeah.
At some point during this call, did you say that you have a new girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why?
You know, it wasn't what I expected. Kind of random.
You're in control, buddy. You're driving the bus.
Oh, my God.
Why in the world would you want to have another girlfriend and run the risk of more incidents like this? You have school to think about. You have your future to think about. Why do you need a girlfriend?
Well, I wasn't looking for it, but it, you know, it happened.
No. Don't say that. That's not true. You are.
Don't even go there.
You jump from one so-called girlfriend or wife to another relationship. Bam, bam. You're one of those guys who's got to go from lily pad to lily pad.
Now, there was enough months in between, you know. But
how many?
Hey,
two?
She's established.
Oh, my God.
No, stop it.
Even if he gets out of this situation, he's going to do it again.
No.
Nice guys finished last, Joe. Nice guys finished last. You sound like a very nice guy, and these women are going to pummel you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Including your current girlfriend.
Well, she's a psychologist, so
even worse.
You know, that's good or bad, I don't know.
Yeah, well, oh my God, Adam, I got to tell you, what more can I say? I'm reserving my feelings here because he's, you know, possibly going to be your client. I don't want, but I'm hearing a lot
of
things
here.
Okay,
to be honest, you know,
I'm hearing a lot of things here that don't ring true to me. A lot. You want a wife or a girlfriend very badly, so much so you ignored all these red flags, and then you jumped into another relationship.
Well, take things slow, that's all.
You're not taking things slow. You have a girlfriend.
Yeah, but...
Taking things slow means
time.
You date multiple people. You feel them out. You see what they're like. You don't jump from a wife who just stuck a knife in your back to a new relationship.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, it really wasn't set up like that. You know, it wasn't.
What does that mean?
It wasn't the same kind of a situation.
It wasn't set up. You did that. You set this up. You did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, obviously, you didn't know who you were setting up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you still don't.
That's the concern. You know, guys need to watch out for that. I mean,
stop being concerned and start doing something about it. You know what
well,
I'm
that's
saying?
That's what I'm doing. I'm getting a consultation here
from the
wonderful attorney.
Do that. You've got to do that.
Kind of half and half.
Yeah.
He's hesitating. Joe gives me one of these, you know, if I hire you, what will you do for me that I can't do myself? Or something like that, you know?
What?
Yeah, he's tough.
That's his thing.
But,
you realize this woman can take everything you have.
Well, I don't have anything, so whatever it would be, it'd have to be in the future, which is what
here. Yeah, well, you're still married, aren't you?
Yep.
Are you legally separated?
Yes.
You are? So you actually got a piece of paper that says you're separated?
Wait, the petition was just filed.
Is that
the second petition, because the first one was done all wrong.
So does that mean that they are legally separated, Adam, or
no?
No. So that means every penny you make, that half a penny is hers right now until you actually separate.
My much greater concern is her, you know, running up debt that he has to pay.
Right.
In particular with social benefits and welfare and whatnot.
Do we know that she doesn't have credit cards?
Who knows what she's doing? She's living with a rich guy. Who knows what that even means?
Well, that's what she said.
Yeah. So.
Right.
She's a dangerous person, and you got to disassociate yourself with her. Too sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I didn't want to beat up on you, Joe. I just wanted you to talk to the boys that they don't do any of this nonsense. Because I think you're paying a high price, and it's out of proportion to what you did. It's very natural to want to have a partner. I don't know if you're supposed to get married or have a steady girlfriend or whatever. That's something that you seem to really want. But there are so many hazards, and we see that with foreign women, it can be even worse. And so you gotta really watch out. Guys have got to keep their eyes open. And in terms of signing a affidavit of support and sponsoring someone for a green card, not a good idea. And by the way, the idea that she's going to appreciate it and love you and be happy, not really. You see, pretty freaking ungrateful all in all. So, around, I would do it with great caution. I talked to a guy the other day who wanted to make a prenup or something. I don't think that could even help. I don't see how you could even do that with a foreign woman. I mean, she doesn't have anything. She doesn't have any assets. You're not equals at all. If you get her own lawyer, I mean, you know, her interests are really bound up in you.
I tied up an immigration attorney in knots one time with a woman who told me she needed to get married.
Were you going to marry her, Tom?
Well, I had the conversation. This is not recent. I had a conversation, and here's what I said. I said, how would a prenup even be relevant with somebody who's telling me that she has to get married or leave the country?
That's the pressure
because
right there.
Doesn't that mean she's under duress?
Yep.
Won't that mean that the prenup could be thrown out?
I couldn't agree more.
Right. And the guy was like, homina, 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 you know, because he wanted to get his client married.
Oh, dear.
So she stupidly brought me in to see her attorney, and I hit him upside
him
the head.
Yeah, some logical questions.
Right. So isn't that the definition of duress? She has
total
to marry
duress.
Me or has to leave the country.
Which she doesn't want to do.
We need to do this right away. That's not duress?
That's duress.
All right, well, just sign this piece of paper. That wouldn't be duress.
Yeah, I think that's duress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. God, what a mess. What a mess. I don't know how these things happen, Tom. I swear to God.
No idea. Well, I have an idea. There are guys who want to get married so badly. They want girlfriends so badly. They want to have children so badly. They overlook every red flag they see because they're, as I was saying, they're overdosing on the drug called testosterone.
But if the choice you have as an American man walking around wherever you live, these awful, ridiculous American women, it seems like, wait a second, I'm beating the system. I'm marrying a woman from Russia. Wow, you know, whole different culture. I don't have to deal with all the nonsense an American woman brings to the table.
But that's for dating.
Even,
and when we talk about on the show,
whatever.
What we talk,
it's supposed to be great wives, you know?
I'm going to tell you something that I've never said out loud on this show. I'm going to say it right to you right now.
Uh-oh.
I deliberately dated women with immigration issues, knowing that after 6 months we would get to this fork in the road, and I go, well, I'm sorry, I've already been married and divorced four times, I can't get married, but I'm going to have to live, well, I'm sorry.
You went into that on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you were off the rails, man.
These were some of the hottest chicks you would ever
So you already had your exit plan?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're stone cold killer, Tom.
Well, I am. I knew they would have to go.
If you were Donald Trump and you had all the money in the world, look what he did. He marries an immigrant, but he's got all the attorneys to defend him if he's got it. He needs to.
Yeah, I think she signed some stuff too, I'm sure. It wasn't exactly whatever, but she's like yours. She was already in the U.S., right?
Yep.
Yeah, but we don't know how long she was here. We only know what she told you.
Right.
You don't know how long she's been here. You don't know if that's a boyfriend, a husband, or a pimp that she is with money. You don't even know if there is such a person. She's told you that. You've met him, never seen him, never heard from him.
He may not exist at all.
If he existed, don't you think he'd try to find you and clock you for nailing his girlfriend? I mean, come on.
Right.
Wow.
You know, if I'm the rich boyfriend and my girl is living with some other guy and she's missing for days and weeks at a time, I'm hiring a private investigator. I'm going to find you and I'm going to make sure that you learn a lesson that you're never going to forget.
Oh, God.
You understand? That's what I would do. So I find it hard.
Oh, yeah.
She has a multimillionaire boyfriend who clearly couldn't care less that she got married to someone else and is living with.
Yeah, right. It is hard to believe.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. You do. That's because you want to get married.
Okay. God help us. So keep in touch, Joe. I'm going to work on this with you somehow. And I think Tom's right. I think you've got to look at this from all the angles because there's a whole underbelly to this that somehow is not showing itself. That's the bottom line.
Right.
There's a whole second side of this, and I really think when you start looking in the hall of mirrors, you know, maybe Tom's right. Maybe all the things that she's told you aren't true. Maybe that guy doesn't even really exist. Maybe she never really had the job. Maybe she's been in the U.S. for years. Who knows what the story is, you know?
Maybe she's been here for 5 months and 29 days. And, and who knows? You don't know what's true because you've seen no proof of anything she's ever said.
And you have to doubt everything she said, to tell you the truth. Everything she said is you know, suspect.
No, I agree 100%. You know, I'm just in that mode, you know, like get that, get the leech off of me.
Well, you got to get rid of her as soon as possible because she's toxic.
Yeah.
And seriously, you need to take a breather between relationships and finish school before you start having serious relationships with anyone.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Oh, that's why I'm not taking anything more seriously than what it is.
You just said you have a new girlfriend.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
But that don't count.
That's what I tell her. She's the girlfriend. Hey. No. You're lying to us, and the real truth is you want to have a girlfriend so badly you're going to believe anything anybody tells you.
I wouldn't say that, you know. But,
well, I know you would, but I would.
I'll let you have your moment here.
Have my moment? I'm trying to be helpful. I'm not trying to have a moment. I'm trying to help you. All right. Well, you and Adam,
you can help me with for now, believe
you and Adam are going to have your conversation, and I, you know, again, you need an attorney, and Adam's here offering to help you. And the reality is, and now you're talking to a guy who's been divorced four times. You need an attorney.
Yeah.
Right.
No doubt. Right. Come on, say yes.
No.
I don't doubt it.
He's going to continue negotiating with. That's going to do. No, you need an attorney, Joe. And that's the bottom line here. And the other thing, which has nothing to do with your legal situation, you need to really think hard about what any woman tells you. They lie.
Yeah. I don't
know if you're aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll tell you they love you to get what you have. In your case, you're going to, graduate school? What you might have down the line.
Yeah.
Don't you understand?
You got a bright future to exploit.
There are some girls who get in there now, so if you're setting up a medical practice or a dental practice or a legal practice, an architectural firm or whatever, they'll get in with you now so they will own 50% of it when all is said and done. That's what women do.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What I have always said on this show, and I don't know if you've ever been a listener of this show, what I have always said on this show is that if you insist on having a relationship, a live-in or a marital relationship, do not do it until your career goals have been attained. You are an architect. You have a firm. You have a dental practice. You have a legal practice. You have a medical practice. And you own it 100%. You don't get married or get committed to people before you have achieved your dream.
Yeah, that is so absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
I agree with that.
If you agree with it,
a hard lesson to learn.
Yeah, well, guess what? You have a girlfriend and you're doing it again.
Well,
what are you studying to become?
A doctor.
What kind of doctor?
Well, I'll leave it undisclosed for now.
Well, we don't know you. I mean, are you talking about a medical doctor? Are you talking about being a PhD at a university? What are you talking about?
A psychologist, I think he's talking about.
Oh, right. Okay. So have you achieved your dream? Or do you have a practice?
Oh, no, I'm still...
Then you are not ready for a relationship.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it, man.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That means, in addition to getting rid of the wife, the grifter you married, you also have to get rid of the girlfriend. You have to dial this stuff back. Now, I know you won't, and I know you're not listening to a word I'm saying.
You're just talking shit now, Tom. There's no way, bro.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
You're going to have to buy me a beer and pay for my insurance.
He's not doing
it, Tom. Years from now, you will remember I said this, and you will be so sorry you didn't listen to me.
You know, like when your parents tell you, you know, darling, don't do what I did or whatever, you know?
But, you know, when I was 5 years old or so, my mom said, when my mom was making tea in a tea kettle on top of a gas stove.
Ooh.
And I was watching this. I was waiting for the whistle on the tea kettle to come up, and I was fascinated.
All right.
And then I started putting my hand towards the bottom of the tea kettle where the blue flame is coming up. And my mom told me, don't put your hand there. You're going to burn yourself. Then the phone rang and she left the room. I put my hand right in there like this guy is doing right now.
Couldn't resist, huh?
Find out the hard way, son.
Well, that's already happened.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I've been divorced 4 times. Listen carefully. You're putting your hand on the flame again. You gotta take it out.
Well, I'll tell you what. You pay for the attorney, I'll give you rights.
Pay for the attorney?
What the hell does that mean?
Taking my advice benefits you, not me. It doesn't have no skin off my nose if you get married to another grifter. Another person's going to steal from you. It benefits you if you follow my advice. You understand?
Well, you know, the key here is...
Tom. Hold on.
Why you made your mistakes with the first person, that's... You need to look at yourself squarely and realize all the mistakes I made.
Oh, yes, and you realized all the mistakes you made. But in the meantime, during this call, you've indicated you still haven't learned from a lot of the mistakes you made. Like, you're still trusting her. You're still signing papers and having meetings and conversations. And it's like...
Oh, no, there's no meetings. There's no meetings.
Mm-hmm.
There's no conversations. There's nothing.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, again, you know, I think in all practicality here, I think, you know, what people need to know and what guys need to know out there, especially in Los Angeles, especially in these major cities.
You're clearly not, you're new in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, believe me, I've lived here for 30 years, okay? And it's no different from other major cities. It's very similar. You're just new here. Where are you originally from?
Originally from Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, do you think New York is any better?
Do you think girls like the Stone Cold Philadelphia?
Nope. Right. But
don't blame it on Los Angeles. You are the same person in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania as you are in Los Angeles.
I think you can find a con artist in Pittsburgh, too.
The only difference is that hot chicks don't go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, too bad.
If there are hot chicks in Pittsburgh, they move to Los Angeles.
They hightail it to L.A.
L.A., Miami, right. Or Dallas. That's what they do.
Right.
That's where they go.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is, you were trying to get something for nothing. Women want to be compensated for you taking the best years of their lives. They want you to pay for that. And a lot of guys are prepared to pay in order to get that. You're one of them.
Yeah.
No, I was.
Well, you were until she muscled you out of the room. You didn't choose to end that relationship. Your grifter wife did.
Well, regardless, you know, it is what's happened, and I'm the one who suffered from it. You know, and I think, again, you know, what needs to be known is beware, you know, and really.
No, it's what you. No, no, sir. It's what you need to know. We know it. People who listen to this show know it. I know it. I've had experience. I know it. And the way you prove you know something is you don't repeat the same behavior, okay?
Right.
You're still repeating it as you are. You haven't learned anything yet. The day you will know you learned is when you stop jumping into new relationships. And not a minute before. So you're not in a position to lecture the audience about what they ought to know because you don't know it yet. You know nothing at this point because you're still making the same mistake again.
Oh, God.
Love you to death, but you're a nice guy. It's part of the problem.
That is the problem.
But I'm telling you that you don't know enough to tell other people what to do because you're still making the same mistake.
Well, I don't know where it's going. So I'm not in that.
Well, I know where it's going.
I'm not in any kind of commitment.
If the woman you're dating says, oh, honey, let's get married, you'll do it.
No.
You'll say, but I can't get married until my other wife divorces me.
No, not even then.
Really? Why don't you call your girlfriend up right now and say, by the way, so you know, even after I get divorced, we're never getting married. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't do
Nothing
it.
Nothing doing, huh?
So I don't think you're in a position to be judging other people or to be lecturing them about what they ought to be doing, because you haven't learned your lesson yet.
Right, and I guess it'll take you about five tries for you to be this is authoritative.
Well, by the way, if you were a listener, you would know my story, and my story was that my parents were married for 40 years,
right.
And when I got married, and it ended up not working out. I took it as personal failure, that my parents are doing it right and I'm doing it wrong. But the reality is my parents got married in 1955, back when wedding vows meant something. And women were willing to fold your socks and make you lunch. And men went to work and brought home their whole paychecks. It was a different era. But I didn't understand that. So I kept getting married, hoping this time I'm going to do it right. But I now know, after four marriages and four divorces, I now know that marriage is a dead issue. It is extinct. It was great while it lasted, but today's women are not wives. They are sluts. They are scandalous skanks. That is what they are. Now, you may not have seen your current girlfriend act like one of these. That's because she, unlike your grifter wife, she hasn't gotten the benefits of being married to you yet. So, of course, she's still auditioning for the part of Mrs. You.
So she's still behaving herself, you see.
She's behaving herself because he hasn't signed any paperwork
yet.
And the only reason he hasn't signed paperwork is because he's still married to someone else.
That's right. You can't marry her.
So that's the only thing saving him from himself right now is that he's still married to the other one. So you've got the perfect alibi.
There's something to that, Tom.
You've got the perfect alibi to not get married. You say, well, I'd love to get married, but I'm still married to someone else.
It's like being gay.
Yeah, so
I can't marry you. I'm sorry.
Well, it used to be like
that. So in fact, it might be a good position for you to stay in as long as possible.
No.
That's not what he was getting at.
Get out of the first one and don't get into a second one. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's an interesting theory, you know, certainly something to think about.
What gets me with Joe, Tom, is that you corner him and then he's got another answer, you know?
That's something to think about. Let me translate that in English. No, not listening to a word you're saying. That's what he's saying.
That hurts.
I know.
That hurts.
I know. All right, Joe, well, thank you so much. You'll find out the hard way, and hopefully you'll come back on and tell us how that played out.
Well, I'll let you know when it's all over.
If it's ever all over.
My God.
Hi, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Joe. I appreciate it.
Wow.
See, I love the guys. I don't want to beat up on them, but he, I can't get through to them.
Somebody's got to beat up on them. The reason the guys are like this is because so many of today's adult men did not grow up with a father to beat the shit out of them. You know, your dad would tell you, son, let's have a talk. Why are you letting her walk
alone? God damn it, what are you doing?
Don't do what I did. Don't marry somebody, become a cuck. Don't do that.
Oh, God.
Now, where's your dad now? There's no dad to tell you.
There's a whole generation of cucks.
There's two generations. We're now on generation two.
Oh, my God.
You know, feminism, Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem, 1969, new generation, 1989. Now we've passed 2009. We've got at least two full generations.
Unbelievable.
Of men who act like women, and are victims of women.
What kills me is that it's not just speculative of all the things that have already happened to him, and he laughs it off. He's very calm about it. Like you said, he doesn't have any real anger, and he doesn't want to pull himself out of it.
He kind of does.
You know, he's got a little of it. But you can't push too hard because he's got these boundaries. Well, it wasn't her fault, and I didn't know that, and she didn't mean to.
I was helping.
Oh my God!
Stop the helping.
Stop.
Women are equal. They don't need your help.
That's what they say. That's what feminism was like. The whole freaking concept.
Right.
A woman was saying, don't hold the door for me.
Right.
Don't pay for me. I'm independent. I don't need your help. Screw you. I need you like a fish needs a bicycle. So get lost. Right?
Right.
So what is all this?
Well, you know what it is.
And what? And right down the drain.
It's men raised by women acting like women. That's what it is. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell everybody how they can get in touch with you. Does that work for you?
Cool.
All right. Good. Adam Sachs. And it's our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Don't go anywhere.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
We're
going to turn your mic on, and then you're going to get
me. Hello.
Go ahead.
You can call me at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go, everybody. And by the way, if you missed any part of Adam Sachs, Adam is here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zdino.
Yes.
It's official. Sex addiction is no longer a legit thing.
I always knew that.
I think everybody did. But according to new findings by the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, also known as the AASECT.
ASECT.
Yes. As far as they're concerned, sex addiction is bullshit.
Nice.
Because there's essentially no empirical evidence that proves uncontrolled sexual impulses amounts to a form of addiction. So when you hear all these people with their sex addiction and they just can't stop and everything else, the professionals say, nope.
I just like fucking a lot.
Right. This just seems ridiculous to begin with. New study shows that men compete harder when they're competing against women versus competing against other dudes.
Wow, I didn't expect this.
This is awesome. The study involves speedboat racing.
Oh.
And what they found is, and I think this is in Asia somewhere, by the way. I think what they found is that when men compete against women, they actually perform better.
I'm going to guess because they don't want to say they got beat by a woman.
Right. Well, that's it's certainly motivation. Should be, anyway, if you have any pride.
Right. So it makes you go even more ballistic.
Right. And, of course, women perform worse when they're competing against men. They apparently do much better when they're competing against other women.
Mm-hmm. Which goes, it's just true in life.
Yep. Speaking of broads, Wonder Woman has been dumped as a special UN ambassador because she sexualizes women, apparently, and that's not okay with people. They made a big-ass stink about this, and I guess now the two sides were fighting, and they decided they're going to pull the whole idea of Wonder Woman out there representing women. I don't know who's going to replace her.
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham is great.
Some ugly hag.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it...
Definitely unsexualize that situation.
Yeah. Right. Get that done.
Nothing says no sex better than Lena Dunham.
Right. No doubt.
Pink is the latest celebrity to be photographed nearly nude and pregnant.
No, please.
If you get off on broads with big preggers' bellies, you can see Pink do that right on her Instagram account.
Yep, our girl Alicia out there rocking it out.
She's got, she is topless, and her younger daughter, I guess, is behind her, reaching around and holding her big belly, and she's holding her titties, which appear to have grown since being pregnant.
Yes,
that's what happens.
I like those big pregnant
titties. Me too.
I'm down with that.
Thank you, Alicia. Yeah.
Pick alert, check out Charlie Rina in a bikini. She's not pregnant.
No way. She's out gallivanting in Malibu.
It's absolutely fantastic. And finally, a big alert, Anastasia Ashley, who is one of the best asses around. She's a surfer. You've seen many pictures of her. She's now doing a campaign for something called Thuggies. They do a really stupid beer koozie called a Chuggy, which is essentially like a hooded sweatshirt for a beer.
For a beer, yeah. It's like a nice koozie there.
If you want to see what the millennials are up to, you go to that thuggies.com and just look at the cover photo where all the guys and the women essentially are wearing all the same thing. It's like unisex clothing. They all got hoodies on. They all got hats on. They all have, like, stupid socks on.
If I'm just waiting for one of the dudes to bust out with a monocle.
And planted right there in the middle of the picture is a chick with drinking a bottle of Prosecco, like right from the bottle. There's your millennials right there.
Yep.
There's plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
We can take a little break.